Good afternoon, everyone. Here we are, living the good life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida, and so glad to have you joining us today on this beautiful sunny day in Clearwater, Florida. And a little different than some of the weather we've been having, so it's really good to see that sunshine out again, and we're looking forward to a great show today. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and joining me, two of our radio team members, and one of them is on the air right now. Megan, are you on?
Hi, Pastor.
Hey, how are you, Meg?
I'm wonderful. Enjoying some warm sunshine and some Girl Scout cookies.
Oh, you can't believe you can't beat that combination, right?
No, you can't.
Oh, what kind of Girl Scout cookies do you prefer?
Oh, Thin Mint.
Uh-huh.
I'll be in trouble. I'll have to replace them before Mama comes back from Mississippi.
Oh, okay. Those Thin Mints. Boy, they're the best, I tell you. Yeah. So, Mama's, did she leave today to go to Mississippi?
She did. She's getting ready to get on an airplane in a little bit. So we just cover her in the plane with the blood of Jesus, her and dad both.
Okay. Amen. That they have it. Oh, your dad's been up here too then.
Yes. We got to see him yesterday.
Oh, great.
Wonderful.
Well, good. Well, we just pray that they'll have a safe trip. And, your dad's job has relocated to Mississippi in the last few months. So lots going on in your family up there, Meg.
Yes, ma'am. All kinds of stuff.
Yeah, not the least, of course, is the fact that you're going to deliver a beautiful baby boy in about 4 weeks.
Amen. Amen. A beautiful healed baby boy.
A healed baby boy. Little Grayson. Absolutely. So, and I talked about you a little bit at church this morning and your faith. So today we're talking more about faith. And this whole series we've been in is called Be Healed. And, I'll tell you, Megan, it always blesses me to teach on healing because it's something we need in our daily lives. You know, we need to know that God heals us. Not just physical problems, but the things, the hurts, the disappointments, the pain of the past. And, you know, I think that so many people just really don't understand that they can receive healing for all that junk that's happened to most people in their, you know, in years gone by, you know?
I know exactly what you mean, and it's so true. I think it's hard for people to understand how they can be healed in so many different ways, not just physically, but, you know, emotionally. I mean, the healing of their past. I mean, it can all be forgotten and renewed in just a little bit of faith.
Oh, absolutely. And we're going to talk about that today, this whole faith walk and what it means. And it's not just mental assent. And we're going to talk about that and what is the difference between faith and mental assent. So that's going to be an interesting show. Carol will be on a little while later and from Georgia, and we will just have a great conversation, will we not?
Amen. We sure will.
Yes. So let's begin with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come into these homes and into the vehicles as people drive and listen to the show today. We thank you, Lord, for the outreach that is made possible through this radio station, this broadcast. Lord, let this show today touch lives in a miraculous way. Let them walk away from this show knowing that they have felt your presence, knowing that you are right there with them and bringing the healing that is needed in each life. Lord, we just believe you for a show today that is so anointed and breaks through the chains that people have that have kept them bound up, that have caused them to not know about your healing power. Lord, let your healing power be so revealed today. Let it be so present and so important that people will just grasp this concept today. Lord, we give you the glory and the praise before we ever see what you're going to do on the show today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And did we have church today, Meg? We did.
Praise God.
It was great. It was fantastic. And you say that your weather up there is finally broken. Are you a little better?
Yeah, I think we're seeing some signs of spring, knock on wood.
Mm-hmm.
45 degrees and sunshine, and it's so warm compared to what it was. So we just tell the Lord, bring on spring.
you know, that must be the case. You guys have had the worst winter, of course, that you've ever had, probably. But my son Ryan called me yesterday, and he said, it's 37 degrees. We're having a heat wave. And, you know, a 37 degrees for us in Florida is like, whoa, you know, put the blankets on the plants, you know. And
go outside.
And he's walking around outside with his shirt sleeves on, you know. And it's just like, you guys really have suffered this winter. You really have.
It's been a nasty winter. I don't think I can remember it being this cold for this long. So
right.
It's like I just have to remind myself, don't complain if it gets hot, because somebody probably will smack me.
Exactly, because, you know, after all that winter and snow and ice and trying to get around, I don't know how you guys have done it. It's just been a miserable time, I know.
It's been, yes, it's been nasty, and it's finally nice to feel the sun warm you in your car when you're driving in it instead of freezing to death.
Right. So, wow. So this is a good day all around. The sun is shining, and we've got a wonderful message of hope today where it comes to the healing of our emotions and our bodies. So stay tuned, because it's going to be great. We are going to start today with a song by Christian Stanfill. We've used this song different times. It's called The Stand. It's one of those songs we've done at Beacon many times also. Listen to these words and let God speak to your heart through this song.
You stood before creation, eternity in your hand. You spoke the earth into motion, my soul now to stand.
Great song. I'll stand with complete abandon, offering myself to you, Lord. And people, that's what it's going to take in order to really walk in the healing of Almighty God. Where, and I love some of those words, I offer my heart to you, God, completely to you. And Megan, as we talk today on this show, Be Healed, we are really going to emphasize our role in our healing, because I believe a lot of people, they have heard that God can heal people. They're not sure he really will. So there is that disconnect there. There's a lot of people that feel like God punishes us with sickness. We really talked about that last week, that that is not the case. That is not what he does. But he also gets glory from our healing, and we really need to emphasize that this week. And starting off with this song that we just did, The Stand, is important because we have to stand, it says, with complete abandon and surrender to him and allow him to do the work in our lives that needs to be done. And Megan, there's so many people that are walking around so bruised and beat up and broken, and they need to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus and allow him to do the healing that needs to be done. Talk to me about this, because I'm on a bandwagon on this today, I'll tell you.
Well, I'll jump on the bandwagon with you.
All right, come on board, girl.
Because complete surrender, we talked about that last week.
We did.
And complete surrender is the key, the ultimate key to receiving your total healing.
Yes.
And that's our role, is to completely surrender our hearts and our minds and our bodies to God. And I just a small example is with my son Grayson last week, he had such a high increase in his lung capacity that the doctors couldn't believe what they saw. They couldn't believe it.
Wait a minute. That deserves a bell.
Amen.
Woo! And maybe some applause. Maybe some applesauce, yeah. Cedric. Hang on a minute. We got... Yeah!
Applesauce.
Applesauce. All right. Woo! Yes. Thank you, Cedric.
When he told us that, it's like, I just looked right at the technician and I said, well, praise God. You know, we got in the car and we left, and when you say God gets all the glory, he
yes.
does. Because
yes.
when we got in the car, I in the spirit, I could see that Jesus was smiling. I mean,
right.
It was
Woo!
Cool. So, you know, Pastor, when people can finally get to a point when they have had enough of trying to control their situations, when they're tired of being controlled by worry and
yeah,
anxiety.
Exactly.
That they want to lay those down.
Right.
Then they can truly realize that then God will teach you as you go through it what your role is to him to receive a total healing.
Amen. Amen. And it's different situations. Today we're going to talk about three different passages of scripture that have very different methods of healing, if you want to call it a method, or a process that happened in these people's lives. And it teaches us so much about God and about the walking with the Lord. And Megan, I know, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I know that you are a changed young woman from before you got pregnant with Grayson till now. And God has done a lot in you as this healing has been ongoing.
Yes, he totally has, because before I found out I was pregnant, I thought I was in control of my body, and I was controlling my fitness, I was controlling everything that I ate. And then all of a sudden, it's like, I'm pregnant. And it's like, at first, it's like, I was concerned and worried that I was going to lose my fitness. And it's like God
right.
kind of tapped me on the back of the head like, hey, lady, where is your mind? Where is your heart? Where is your spirit? It's like, whoops, I slipped again. So, you know, even for somebody, you know, that I've been in church and been involved with God as little as I can remember, is that we all slip.
Right. Sure we do.
It's amazing how he grabs our attention
mm-hmm.
and redirects us back on the way we're supposed to go.
Yes.
Because this pregnancy did that to me. And that by what you mean is being changed is that I, when I surrendered, I gave God my heart and my mind and my spirit, because if I didn't, I would be in a heck of a mess. And
right.
We talked about that last week.
Absolutely. And it is all about surrender and really being grateful for what God has done. Let's look at Luke 17. We're going to start there today. Verse 11. And I love this story. Luke 17, 11. If you want to grab your Bible and follow along with us, I'm reading from the Message Bible, and it says this. It happened that as he made his way, he, meaning Jesus, toward Jerusalem, he crossed over the border between Samaria and Galilee. Now, this is not just a trivial fact. This is an important part of this story, that Jesus walked into Samaria. Now, Samaria were the ones that were considered less than. They were half-breeds. They were a people that were not full-blooded Jewish people. So as a result of that, they were looked down on by the Jews. And they knew they were outsiders, and they felt that. And some of you out there in Radio Land today may have felt at different times that you are less than, that you don't measure up, maybe to somebody in your family, maybe to, you know, at work or in a relationship. You just feel like you don't quite measure up. And that's what the Samaritans felt. They were just not quite, you know, as good, quote unquote, the Jewish people felt, as the Jews. That doesn't mean that they weren't. Of course they were. God loves us all. And that's one of the things that we see in this story. So as Jesus walks into Samaria, he enters a village, and 10 men, all lepers, met him. A few weeks ago, we talked about Matthew chapter 8, where the leper comes up to Jesus and he says, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me whole." And Jesus said, "I'm willing, be cleansed." I love that in the first part of Matthew 8. Now, here again, we see lepers. Now, leprosy is probably one of those terrible, dreaded diseases of that age and that period of time, like maybe HIV, AIDS, the stigma of that a few years back that we all encountered in so much of the world. This would be that type of thing, because the lepers were such outcasts that when they came near anybody that was not a leper, they had to announce their presence by shouting the word unclean, unclean, so that everybody knew that they shouldn't come close to them, that they were lepers. So it's very interesting that Jesus, on different occasions, ministers to lepers. What does that say to us? Megan, I love that. Don't you like that?
Yes, and you know, just because someone has, you know, has a disease, that they're not, they shouldn't be, and back then, you know, it couldn't be helped, because that was such a horrible, devastating disease that nobody wanted to be around anybody. But
right.
if you look at how people outcast, even just the people of Samaria, that they were called, I call them hybrids, that they weren't
right.
the true Jewish bloodline.
Right, hybrids, that's a better way to put it, yes.
We do that today in society with each other, even in church.
Yes, we do.
It's so sad to see that, and I know that it makes God sad, because we're all to love one another as he loves us, and not to judge people
right.
of their diseases or of their past that they're carrying with them.
Right. But people do, you know?
They do.
Segments of society in the past, a few years back, it was basically racial based judgment and stigma. Now it's more of the gay issue, the sexual orientation that so many people in that community feel less than. And I've been there. I know how that feels. And feel that you're not quite as good as somebody else. And that's how these lepers felt, and that's how these Samaritans felt. I mean, their feelings were that, hey, wait a minute, you know, there's something wrong with us, quote unquote, you know? And, you know, I think that really must make God sad, Megan, because there's so many people in our world that do feel that they are less than, that they are not good enough, that they don't deserve the healing of God, and they don't deserve the blessings of God. And you know what? We are going to really attack that whole mindset today with this show and show you over and over again how God loves and accepts every single one of us, no matter where we are or what we've done. Comment on that, Meg.
Well, amen. And, you know, no matter what people have told you around you, your family or your friends, you know, if they've told you that you're unworthy, well, you're not. Because
right.
In the eyes of God, you are worthy.
Amen.
You are worthy of being forgiven, and you're worthy to be loved.
Right.
So don't let what other people's condemning words control your life. Step into the life of God and let him show you what it's like to be loved.
Amen. And you know, that just is a perfect segue for me to say this. One of the biggest roadblocks to healing is feeling unworthy. Okay? Because if you don't feel that you deserve for God to touch you emotionally or physically, if you feel that you deserve to be in the pain you are in, you will probably, more than likely, almost certainly stay in that pain if you feel that you don't deserve to be healed. And so it's very interesting that these 10 lepers come to Jesus. And here's what Jesus says to them in about verse 14 of Luke 17, if you're just now joining us. Taking a good look at them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." Now, the reason he said that is because of the healing, and when you're healed, you had to go and present yourself to the priest. And they went, and while still on their way, they became clean. Interesting timing, don't you think, Megan? It's not that they were made clean and whole and healed prior to taking off and going to the priest. This was an act of obedience that Jesus, God, was calling them to do, to step out in faith. And he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." This is before their healing began to manifest, so that people could see it. Talk to me about that.
Well, and that's just like you were talking, and that song said, "What is our role?"
Right.
And that was their role, was that he told them to go to the priest, make the journey, and go show yourselves as being healed.
Right.
So as they journeyed, he cleansed them, made them whole, and cured them of their leprosy so that they could be presented to the priests and be shown to be healed.
Amen.
And it was just like you said, by their faith, they were healed. And through my journey, you know, however many hundreds of thousands of years ago this was, is that God has told me that by my faith, that my son Grayson is going to be healed.
Right.
So it's just the same exact thing as it was in the Bible as it is today.
About 2,000 years ago. Right.
Exactly. If you have faith, if you are obedient, and if you are completing your role,
amen,
as a child of God and having faith, you will be healed.
Amen. In fact, this series is entitled Be Healed. So it is our choice. We can step out and do what God tells us to do. And here Jesus says to the 10 lepers, "Go to the priest and show." So it's an act of obedience. Let's see if you go and do anything. Now, they could have turned around and said, forget it. I'm okay just the way I am. You know, but they didn't. They came to Jesus and they said, "Have mercy on us." So right there, they were asking for Jesus to intervene in their life. They were asking for God to change their circumstances and heal their bodies. So they came with the right attitude, and then Jesus told them what to do. Go and show yourself to the priest. They went. So it doesn't say that any of them bailed on that little trip to the priest. Instead, they go. But here's where the rubber meets the road, and I love this. They went, and while still on their way, they became clean. Verse 14, one of them, not eight of them, not 10 of them, not six of them, not five of them, one of them, when he realized that he was healed, turned around and came back, shouting his gratitude, glorifying God. He kneeled at Jesus' feet, so grateful that he couldn't thank him enough. And he was a Samaritan. Talk to me about all that, Megan.
Well, you know, for only one of them to come back.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah, that is wild. But that still shows how humans to this day work.
Because that's right.
Too many times have I seen people claim their healing.
Right.
And then they think that it's okay to go back to living their carnal way.
Right.
Like, why can't you turn around and go back and give God all the glory, praise and thank Him every day that you've been healed? And why, I don't know, imagine why they would think that it was okay to turn around and just ignore the fact at the mighty miracle that they experienced.
I know, isn't that strange?
It blew my mind.
You know what? It's almost like they had something else more important to do.
Right.
Perhaps, you know, they were trying to, I'm just conjecturing here, but maybe they wanted to get home and show their family that they no longer had leprosy. Or, you know, maybe whatever. I don't know. Why? Let's see if Carol just called in. Let's see if Carol has a comment on this, because why would 9 not go back and praise God and glorify God and thank Him for the healing? And why only 1? Carol, do you have any concept of that?
The lack of gratitude.
Lack of gratitude is in the world we live in, don't you think?
Yes, it is. We want something. We wanted it yesterday.
Yeah.
We are not patient. We won't wait on it. And even if we get whatever it is we want, we don't give honor to the person that helped us attain that.
That's right.
I mean, for instance, if a person is ill, then they don't give consideration to the physicians that healed them.
Right, right.
You know, it's just a pass. I'll heal. It's okay. Let's go on with life.
Right.
No, it isn't okay. You know, just like this, like Grayson being healed. I know that Megan prays for those doctors that deal with that child.
Sure.
Every single night, every single day, throughout the day, she's giving grace back to them.
Right, yeah.
What they have done through God's hand.
Right.
And how this child has grown. My little neighbors, the two young couple, I have a young couple in my neighborhood right next door.
Megan, you remember these kids. You've been praying for them. What's their names again, Carol?
His name is Gray Bennett Lee.
That's the little baby.
Yes, that's the baby. And Justin is the dad, and Jessica is the mother.
Remember that, Megan? They did deliver that baby at, what, 3 pounds or something?
Well, they delivered him at a pound 15.
Oh, a pound 15. Oh, my gosh.
12 inches long. I spoke to his dad this week and asked how he was doing. And he said he is just... Now, these are two kids that have been in church, you know, probably their whole lives. But they evidently have never faced a crisis where they had to turn their church going into believing.
Well, there you go. Right, wait a minute. Bang. That's a good bell ringer right there. We got to get to that point in our lives where we turn our church going or our religious thinking into actual believing and action. Good point, Carol. Go ahead.
Little guy is now up to 3 pounds, 13 ounces.
Wow.
That was Wednesday, and he's growing like a little weed. At first, when he was delivered, he was a C-section, emergency C-section baby, and they gave very little hope of anything, and he had a little tiny bruise on his brain. Well, in a little guy that's a pound and 15 ounces, that little tiny bruise is a big thing.
Oh, yeah.
That's diminished. The doctors say
God.
He is absolutely on target to be the absolute best that he can. And his daddy said to me, I know you've had your church praying. And I said, yes, I have. And I said, I tell you, I know your mama's church has been praying. And he said, very humbly, he's a quiet young fella, and he's very humbly, he said, a lot of people have been praying. And I said,
praise God.
What have you been doing? And he looked up at me, and he said, praying.
Yeah.
But see, when you pray for something that you don't really have a belief in or have a hand in, sometimes I think we get disconnected in that prayer from the person who asks us to do it.
Right.
To the God who does it.
Right.
But when it becomes a personal thing.
Right.
You can't pray enough.
Mm.
Because then you are receiving grace.
Amen. And God wants us to be grateful here. I mean,
He does. And
I see that.
Honored. He, you know, just like with Grayson and Gray Bennett. God wants to be honored in that.
Right.
He's done a mighty work in Megan and that baby.
Right.
He's done a mighty work in Jessica, Justin, and Greg Bennett Lee.
Right.
Mighty work.
Right.
I mean, that child, either one of those two little boys, are coming into this world not just full of their names, but full of grace.
And amen.
Joy and wonder.
Right. Absolutely.
Isn't it interesting that Grayson's name begins with grace?
Yeah.
That's
and
why that
Greg
that
Bennett's
way.
Name begins with grace.
Right. Yeah, it's very interesting, the both of these names. Absolutely. Megan, that's intentional for you, isn't it?
It totally was intentional, because it's only by God's grace that this child is going to be here thriving on earth and be a living testimony for the miracles that God can perform.
Amen.
And
amen.
Grace has already fallen upon this child because of the prayers of you, your family, and the people around the world who have prayed for him.
Heaven yes.
only knows where that last prayer will come from.
Right. Well, and see, what this is, what this story to me reminds us of, the importance of gratitude and praising God when maybe at a point where you don't even see God working. Megan, it's hard when you're carrying a child and you wake up in the morning, you can't see God doing something. You have to accept that he's doing something and healing that baby within you without seeing it. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, ma'am. And you have to have total, utter trust.
Yep.
And you can't just have, you know, you can't do it every other day or here and there. It has to be every single day. So, you know, if you want to claim a healing on yourself, no matter what kind of healing it is, because there are so many different types of healing, you have got to get out of bed every single day, and you've got to praise God and thank him for your life.
Amen.
And let him know that you mean business, that you're not just here, you know, scuffing your feet along the floor. Well, I think I'm going to be healed. No, I am going to be healed.
Amen.
God, in the name of Jesus, I proclaim it every single day. You can't, don't fall out of the boat on this one. You got to stay in it, and you got to maintain your vigor in your role. You got to maintain it.
Amen. It takes consistency. It takes persistence, determination. This guy, this leper, the one out of the 10, probably could have gone right along with the crowd. Oh, yeah, let's all go on down and celebrate, you know, whatever, however we're going to celebrate. But instead, this one out of 10 says, wait a minute, I got to go back and give glory and praise to Jesus, the Son of God. He knew enough the importance of praising God and thanking him. And I tell you, this is a huge, if you're taking notes out there, this is a huge point when it comes to healing. Thank God before you see your miracle completed, and praise him when you do see it. Praise him and thank him and make this vocal. I mean, I think Megan a lot and Carol, a lot of people may say, oh yeah, God did it. Thank you. And that's it. We're talking about getting rather emotional about this. This guy goes back, and it says that as he was healed, he turned around and came back shouting his gratitude, is what it says in the Message Bible, glorifying God. He kneeled at Jesus' feet. Yeah, you talk about dramatic? Sure, that's dramatic. Why not? God has done a miraculous thing for this man and absolutely healed his body. He kneeled at Jesus' feet so grateful. He couldn't thank him enough, and he was a Samaritan. Mm-mm-mm. So God does heal the ones that society might say, oh, they're an outcast. They're less than. Carol, your turn. Talk to me about this. Talk to me about this attitude of this leper, that it wasn't just, oh, well, that's nice. Oh, good. Now I'm healed.
Well, I think one of the first questions you need to ask yourself whenever you are in a catastrophic situation or catastrophic illness or any situation that is urgent that God step in and show you a different way in a healing, one of the first things that you need to ask yourself is, who am I that I'm this worthy? And he will tell you who you are. He will say to you, you're my child.
Right.
That's right.
And we need to understand that, that the healing is not a carte blanche healing that you can run to and get when it's convenient. When the healing comes for whatever your situation is, then that force of gratitude is so profound and so deep within your own soul that you cannot keep it a secret.
No, you can't.
It overwhelms your body. It overwhelms your psyche.
Right.
It overwhelms your soul. And you simply have to burst out and tell somebody.
Absolutely.
And every somebody you tell and experience it with them, with you, they go to the next person.
Yep.
And it just builds up strength and faith within people.
Oh, yes. Faith rises when we hear, don't you think, when we hear these miracles and these answers to prayer. Doesn't faith rise within us?
It certainly does. For instance, if a child is missing.
Right.
And I'm going to speak of children because that's what we're speaking of right now instead of old toads like me. But when you speak of children being missing, those of us that know God will say a prayer for that family, for that child, for protection,
oh, yeah,
whatever it might be. And when we discovered that that infant or that child has been rediscovered and brought back to their family and they're safe, what a sigh of relief it is, and what a thank you. Then you want to dance around in your living room with your hand above your head going, praise God, praise God, praise God.
Amen. Reminds me of those three young women that were held captive in that house in Akron, Ohio for a while.
Oh, gosh.
Last year.
Yep.
You know, and just how when they're finally set free from a prison, really a prison, they couldn't even walk outside, you know, all of that. Just the gratitude, oh, the gratitude is so important. We've got to really see the magnitude of God's healing touch in our lives and be so careful to give him thanks. And Megan, talk to us about this concept, because I think a lot of people don't really understand the importance of gratitude.
Well, you know, if you're not... if you feel unworthy of being healed, why would you have gratitude? And
well, there you go. That's right.
You have to change your mindset.
That's right.
I mean, because just like with me, you know, from day one, I knew it's like, I am not going to play the victim card.
That, okay.
You know, I have a son that's got a congenital disorder and I'm just a mess. No, God told me to not be or feel like a victim.
Woo,
and
that's important.
It is. That's what's important for people, that no matter,
yeah,
what you need to be healed of,
right,
you're not a victim.
Right.
You can be the healed one.
Right.
You can be the person full of gratitude, the person that even though they're facing the greatest challenge of their life, that they've got the biggest smile on their face, and it makes people want to know, well, what is wrong with her?
And it's like, that's right.
God. And it's like, get excited about it, because it's just so hard to explain what, I mean, to put into words that people could understand what God's joy feels like. It's like walking around, everybody says, you know, you're on cloud 9. Well,
right,
it's like you're on cloud 100 and whatever.
Right, yeah.
It's a total, like a euphoria that you get into when you decide to walk through the open door into your healing.
Right.
And that you walk through that door every single morning.
Yes.
To open your eyes.
Yes, yes, yes. Woo, Carol, comment on that.
I think a good word for people that have received the healing in any way is the word blessed.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
You know, when we know that our Savior does care enough about us, as insignificant as we may be in society, in our own families, or wherever, he cares enough about us. You know, if he watches a sparrow and knows when it falls.
Right.
He knows when we need him.
Amen.
He knows when we call on him. And because he is so powerful in the world, he overcomes all evil through the prayers that we give him and the praise that we give him. He then overcomes the evil around us,
right,
whatever it might be. And he holds us in that special place in his hand that says, I will protect you.
Yes.
You are my sheep and you know my name.
Amen. Amen. And so why can we not be grateful? How can we possibly be ungrateful? That's the question I want to ask. And I think the answer to that rests in people's self-centeredness. And we have 9 lepers who walked away and did not come back and give praise or, you know, thanks to Jesus. Right. Instead, they did their own thing. You know, Megan, talk to me about this.
Why did they owe him praise? In their mind, they didn't.
Right, exactly.
I think, shouldn't he have done that because I'm the leper? Shouldn't he have healed me?
Yeah.
Who am I going to praise him? I don't know this God that just did this to me.
Right.
And yet the one person that went back and said, and shouts of joy as he entered his village, and said, look at me, I am healed. I'm coming back to my family a new man.
Right.
And not only did, I would assure you, not only did he come back to his family a new man physically, he came back to his family psychologically and spiritually a different individual.
Oh, absolutely. You can't help it after God touches you. Megan, comment on that. I agree.
Well, it's obvious that their own personal agenda was more important than going back and giving gratitude to the person that healed them.
Amen. Amen.
It's like, what in your life could be more important than thanking the healer for what he did for you?
Oh, absolutely.
And it's like, I couldn't imagine, you know, once Grayson's born, that when he's healed, I couldn't imagine just going back and being the old Megan that, you know, got up every day and was just ho-hum, you know, I'm bored, what am I going to do? No, that's a total transformation of the body to be healed from leprosy.
Yeah.
And it says a lot for that one leper that he went back to thank Jesus. That showed you his true heart, that
it did.
He was grateful for what he did for him.
Woo! Amen. Jesus said, we're not 10 healed. Where are the 9? Can none be found to come back and give glory to God except this outsider? Then he said to him, get up on your way. Your faith has healed and saved you. Listen to this song by New Song, The Same God.
You fall, what you gonna do? Day and night, don't know why, it's like the world against you. You're praying for a breakthrough. There was a day when your faith couldn't be held down. God was near enough to hear every word, but somehow you know, the
now. That same God, was with you then, is the one who's with you now. Praise God. He has never, ever left us. He does not change. He cannot change. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That same God is still with us. Praise God. The same God, through his son Jesus, that healed this leper in this story in Luke 17, is the same one that wants to heal you. Okay, there's no difference. You know, maybe your circumstances are different than this, and you don't have leprosy, but you may have need of the healing power of Almighty God. And what Jesus said to the leper was, your faith has healed and saved you. That is huge. That's what it's about. Same God. I don't know about you, but you all, but I just feel like that blesses me so much to know he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Megan, comment on that, and then we'll go to Carol for that.
Well, he totally is the same as he was then, as he is and will be forever, because before I went to the doctor's office back in December to find out what this ultrasound revealed, as I was walking up to the steps of my son's school, I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, this will be a day that will change your life forever.
Wow.
So even before I knew what was coming, God was with me.
Yes.
And even in that room when I was given the news, God was with me.
Right.
I did not place blame on him. I did not get angry with him. And I knew when I left that when I got in the back seat of my car and I played my favorite song, How Great Thou Art, and that I was sobbing, that he was holding me.
Amen.
So if you get in the right position,
yes.
If you get your life right,
yes.
He will be with you through no matter what you're going through, just as those 10 people were healed of their leprosy. He was there for them, and he was there for them after they were healed, but only one came back to thank him.
Whoa, we got to be that one.
That's right.
Carol, talk to us. Good point, Meg.
If you don't have a test, you don't have a testimony.
That's true. That is a very true. So
something that you can't handle, and you know you can't handle it. There's no way in the world that Megan could have even touched her own abdominal area and say, be healed, Grayson. It wouldn't have worked. But she had the faith in knowing that Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, spoke out to her and said, this will be the best day of your life. And being able to dedicate this child to Jesus Christ is just absolutely a phenomenal thing. Who knows what God has in mind for this baby? Just who knows what God has in mind for Gray Bennett Lee?
Right.
I don't know. I can only tell you this. I've watched a transition in his mama and his daddy.
Amen. Amen. So that's that test you're talking about, where God allows things to happen in our lives so that we have opportunities to choose God and his word over the circumstances and the way we feel.
Yes, we do. And it's important that we realize those aha moments.
Yes.
And sometimes, you know, the Holy Spirit speaks to me frequently. And I have learned in my crazy little lifetime that when he speaks to me, it's a message coming straight from the heart of God.
Amen.
And I will hear it, and I will think on it, and I will walk away and praise God for it, praise him aloud, and praise him silently.
Right.
And say, now, what am I to do with this?
Mm-hmm.
For instance, the Holy Spirit said to me one day, as I walked down to my mailbox, which is one of my favorite journeys, because I really commune with him up and down there, and he said to me, I will prosper you. And I wasn't in my conscious mind thinking about that. I was thinking something else and listening to the beautiful birds singing. But he said, I will prosper you.
Right.
Now, I don't really know what that means. Because I am so blessed, I don't know which is the difference in and which prospering that I've received.
Right.
I know that I'm blessed. I'm blessed beyond any sense of reason.
Right. Well, healing is a blessing, and that's God prospers us through healing, you know?
He prospers us through healing. He prospers us through the tests that give us the testimony.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, we cannot speak to other people who don't have the faith in God that the three of us have. We cannot speak to anyone else and say the truth that we know to be the truth, the capital word truth, if if we have not entered in through a test so that we can say, he brought me out of darkness into light.
And amen.
Like that leper thing. He brought me out of darkness into the light.
Amen. And that's the answer right there. And, whoa, oh, boy. In fact, we're going to talk about that light. So let's go to John chapter 9, find that. And walking down the street in John chapter 9, verse 1, Jesus saw a man blind from birth. Now, this is a condition that's been there since the guy was born. So it's not something that happened by a trauma. It wasn't, I mean, he was always blind, okay? His disciples ask a question, and I taught on this morning at Beacon, and I think it's very interesting to note that the disciples did not say, let's say what they didn't say. They didn't say, oh, look at that guy, Jesus, what's wrong with him? They didn't say, you know, what can be done for this guy? No, here's what they ask Jesus in John 9, verse 1, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, causing him to be born blind? People all the time want to look for a reason that something has happened. Megan, a reason that Grayson has had a hole in his diaphragm. People want an answer. They want, and Jesus redirects them in verse 3 of John 9. And Jesus says, you're asking the wrong question. You're looking for someone to blame. There is no such cause and effect here. Look instead for what God can do. This is huge. We tend to look at somebody that has had maybe a lot of problems going on in their life, and we say, oh, what have they done to cause all that? You know, yes, there is the thing of sowing and reaping, but there are times that illness strikes or something happens. And it's not because of that we should blame somebody. It's instead looking for an opportunity for God to heal. Megan, talk about this, and then we'll get to Carol before we get to station ID here in just a minute.
Well, you know, I don't mean to laugh, but it's like with Grayson. It's like, well, you know, I'm sure that people have said, well, what did they do that they deserve this?
Right. Like, that's my point.
We didn't do anything.
Right.
Know, we had no control over it. We don't know why it happened.
Right.
All we know is that we're proclaiming healing.
Amen.
And so it's like, you know, just because that this guy was born blind didn't mean that his mom or dad did something in their past to cause their child to be born with a blindness.
Exactly.
It has nothing to do with that. It's just that's what you were dealt. That's what he was dealt. And Jesus was trying to tell them that, hey, that's not the right way to look at this. Just because someone, you know, has a physical defect doesn't mean that they or someone else did something wrong in their life. It's just something that they were given, and that Jesus was going to prove to them that he could heal him.
Amen. And that's a huge point here. Carol, talk about this before we wind down here this hour.
I'm often brought back to the children who are born with Down syndrome.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. When they're born, you know, everybody has their hopes up for their child to be the greatest kid that ever walked on the face of the earth, other than Jesus. And we all have high hopes for children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, and so forth. And then the parent that receives the birth of a Down syndrome, there's throughout the family, there's rumbling like, uh-oh, like Megan said, what did they do wrong?
Right.
I think oftentimes, when we look at a situation of being born blind or with Down syndrome, a hole in the heart, an underweight birth, those are gifts. It's the opportunity for us to look at the magnitude of Jesus Christ and what he has presented to us and what a gift we have received, because it teaches us to draw closer to him. It teaches us to open our prayer life instead of, oh, once every blue moon. It teaches us to search the scriptures.
It does.
what can I do? How can I accept this? Lord, why is this on me? We don't have to say that because it's not on us, like Megan said. It is a teaching lesson. It is
right.
a lesson of love. It is a lesson of being blessed. It is a lesson of watching God's special children grow to their full potential.
Exactly. So why, instead of trying to blame someone or even blame God, which a lot of people do, they blame God because a child is born like that. Instead of that, why not turn this around and say, God, you have a blessing, a huge blessing in store for me. And I am going to learn more about you, your nature, your character, who you are, what it is that you want to do in my life, because I'm going to go through this trial, but I'm going to go through this trial with my head high, and I am going to trust you to teach me what I need to learn in this circumstance.
Look at the people that we have known in our lives. Not just we may know within our own families or our own area of where we live, but look at the people throughout the world that we have known of who were great, great followers of Jesus Christ. Look at the suffering that Nelson Mandela went through.
Exactly.
Not one time in his life did he ever think he would go through that kind of suffering, but he turned it into something.
Amen.
He was able to take that dastardly deed and turn it into the blessings that he could teach other people and calm his nation and lead his nation in the gentleness of Jesus Christ.
Woo.
Sometimes I think children are in a family because there's such chaos in a family, and we all know that families have chaos. And how they deal with it is the measure of their grace.
Right.
But in order to be able to go through some of the things that families have to do to adjust themselves, to fall in line with the teachings and the belief and the faith in Jesus Christ, there has to be a crisis.
Right.
And whether that crisis is someone having a child and not being married, or whether that crisis comes because a child is blind, like this man was, or where a child has no hearing, whatever it might be, we begin to see the depths of our souls connected with Jesus Christ, because through that child or those children, we're going to learn multitudes of lessons about
Woo.
Faith and honor and blessings and love and forgiveness.
Amen. With that, let me just make a couple announcements before we do our station ID at the top of the hour. First announcement is that we welcome you to Beacon of Hope if you're in our Tampa Bay area. We want you to join us. We have powerful, crazy good services, and this morning is one of those examples. We had a big party at my house yesterday and last night, and we were all kind of tired and kind of drug in to church this morning, some of us, and we first got there. And Nathan said to me, wow, I said, well, the minute we start singing, and he goes, I agree. And I tell you what, we had a powerful service, a powerful time of ministry at the altar. The word, all of it came out, and it was not in our strength because we were tired, and I still am physically. However, in the power of God, amazing things happen. That's the kind of church Beacon of Hope is. We totally rely on the Spirit of God for what He wants to do in our Bible studies on Wednesday nights at 7 and our Sunday morning worship service at 10:30. We welcome you. Come experience the power and the anointing of Almighty God. Station ID, we'll be right back.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
All right. Welcome back to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. We have a website that is very user-friendly. Now it's even very user-friendly for your phone and your tablet. Go to www.bohm. That stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries. bohmglobal.com. www.bohmglobal.com and check it out. You'll find pictures in our gallery of activities and things we do. We're planning a big Memorial Day event out on Sand Key. And so we'll tell you more about that, but go to our website and experience Beacon of Hope. We're in our 13th year as a ministry. Very grateful. We are so grateful for all that God has done through these years. So many people have received healing and deliverance, been set free from the things of the past. That is what Beacon of Hope is all about, the healing touch of Almighty God. Our slogan is where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. We have a prayer line 24/7, 365. Carol and Pastor Jim man that prayer line. And when the requests come in on email, they get a prayer out to you. That address is prayers@bohmglobal.com. Carol, it's a blessing to be able to do that ministry, isn't it?
It's a gift. It truly is a gift. Not that I have, but that was given to me.
Right.
Jesus laid on my heart today.
Right.
And I feel so strongly about it. I know the power of prayer and what it does and how it changes circumstances and people.
Right.
And sometimes I think we get prayers. I'm pretty sure that we get prayers from people who don't have, quote, anyone else around.
Right.
That would, quote, or unquote, pray for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're lonely. They're down. That maybe their illness, they have a physical illness, a spiritual illness, an illness of the mind, or they're hoping for a job or a new position, or they've got a kid in the military somewhere. Whatever it is, I know that in reading their request, that there's a heart there that needs to be shored up with the word of Jesus
Christ. Amen. Yeah.
So what I try to do is I ask God to give me the words to speak in the prayer, and then I write them as he speaks to me.
Right.
And then I always reference it with a Bible verse, because my intent is the healing of anybody's circumstances comes from the word of God and
Amen.
The faith in God.
Amen.
So why would I not send them back to Scripture and say, this is where you find your healing?
Amen. It's what we're all about. So we welcome you to use that prayer line. It's prayers@bohmglobal.com. Your prayer request will be answered, and our prayer team will get to work praying for you. We have been seeing so many miracles in my own family. We have been just amazed at what God is doing in our church family. It is one miracle after another, answer to prayer. Some prayers, we talked about it this morning, have been being prayed for many, many years. But now is the season. Get on board, because God wants to bless you and turn your life around. Let's do this song, and then we'll get back to Carol and Megan in just a moment. It is by the group Cutlass, What Faith Can Do.
Sometimes gotta find the strength to rise from the ashes and make a new beginning. Anyone can feel the ache. You think it's more than you can take, but you're stronger than you know. Don't you give up now, the sun soon be shining. You gotta face the clouds to find the silver lining. I've seen dreams that move the mountains. Hope that doesn't ever end, even when the sky is falling. I've seen miracles just happen. Silent prayers get answered. Broken hearts become brand new. That's what faith can do.
Praise God. I like that song. This is what faith can do. It's all about faith, dear one out there. It's all about believing God and then putting some action to what you believe. It is all about reaching out and believing that God wants you well. He wants you whole emotionally, spiritually, physically, financially. God has a plan for you socially so that you have friends and supporters around you. Maybe some of you out there have lost a loved one recently and you need the comforting touch of Almighty God and the peace of God that comes with that comfort. Reach out and believe God by faith that he will give you that comfort that you need, that peace in your circumstances. It is all about faith. This man in John 9, we're going back there if you have your Bibles, John 9, and you are listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. John 9 is the story of a man who had been blind since he was born. And the disciples wanted to know who was to blame for that. And Jesus says in verse 3, it's not about who's to blame. You're asking the wrong question. It's about what can God do about this. Okay, dear people, we need to talk about this, Megan and Carol, because so often people will put blame on others. Well, the reason I am hurting is because such and such raped me, or such and such abused me, or my mother never treated me nicely or kindly, or my parents told me I was not wanted, or some awful thing has happened. And yes, the world is full of situations like that where people are not very sweet, kind, and lovely. They are instead maybe abusive and mean and angry, and so they take all of that out on you, possibly. Maybe you have been a victim of some of that, an abuse situation. But we've got to get our eyes off of who we are blaming. And Jesus said, get your eyes on what can God do in your situation. Megan, I'm going to start with you. What can God do?
What can God do? There's nothing that God can't do.
Amen.
And, you know, your past doesn't have to prelude your future.
Amen.
If you let God take the situation from you.
Right.
And what I mean by that is, yes, I'm sure that there are people that have been verbally and physically abused. There's people
yes.
that have been raped.
Yes.
Whatever it is, if you will turn that over to God.
Amen.
Let it go. Stop letting the devil control your thoughts.
Right.
You will be healed.
Amen. And you know what? When we talk about that, it's not okay to carry around the pain of the past and play it like an old tape in your head over and over again. And then he did this, and then he did that, and then he said this, and then this happened, and then this happened. And I tell you, the world is full of that. That is one of Satan's primary tricks on our minds. And the battle is in your mind, by the way, dear one. The devil will fight you because he does not want you to walk in peace. It's all about peace versus chaos. And when you dwell on the past and dwell on the pain of the past, instead of allowing the healer, Jesus, to heal that past, you're going to be miserable. Carol, talk to me.
Well, I think one of the things we need to do is to learn to embrace Jesus as our family.
Mm-hmm.
Our family of choice, our family because he chose us.
Right.
And we have bonded with him.
Yes.
In faith and spirituality. Belief and trust and love and hope and forgiveness and,
right.
and grace, we've bonded with him. Therefore, we have the best family member we could ever have.
The best family member, yes.
To go to.
Right.
He's the one that we learn to praise. He's the one that we learn to thank.
Uh-huh.
And one that we go to and say, forgive me. I didn't mean what came out of my mouth in the way that it did. He's also, you know, told us that we need to pray for a spiritual change in our transgressors. Sometimes our transgressors don't know enough to be healed.
Right. I think oftentimes they don't.
You know, they've walked away from Christ, or maybe they never knew who he was.
Right.
So they don't know enough that they can heal their anguished selves.
Right.
by someone else praying for them.
They need a miracle.
You know, like the woman who had the bleeding situation. And 12 years she had it, and people couldn't heal her. Their best medicine people could not heal her. And yet she knew enough in her heart that when she saw Jesus in the squares, and she went up and barely touched his gown, she was healed instantly.
Exactly.
And that's what we can do for our transgressors. It may take us a lifetime, our own lifetime, to get the fact that those people get it through their head that God can change them.
Well, a lot of this, and this is another roadblock to healing, is unforgiveness. And dear people out there, you've got to learn to forgive. Forgiveness, and I say it probably almost every week on this show, forgiveness does not mean you agree with what was done to you. Forgiveness means that you let it go. They don't owe you anymore. So when we allow ourselves to forgive, and when we forgive God, sometimes it's God we're mad at because of our circumstances. You know, but that what Jesus is saying is here, quit looking for someone to blame. Don't get your eyes on that. Get your eyes off of whose fault something is. That's a strong message. Megan, talk to me about this, because Jesus makes it very clear here that we can ask the wrong questions.
Well, sure you can, because, you know, with whatever type of healing that someone needs, it's not about how you got there or who did it.
Right.
It just happened.
Yes.
So if you can learn to stop trying to place blame and turn your mind around, let God turn your mind around and change your heart into a different way of thinking, of being a thinking of, instead of being derogatory and trying to place blame on something, let God teach you how to claim glory and peace and grace over your situation.
Amen.
Be forgiven and forgive other people of situations that they have done to you so that you can move on with your life.
Amen.
Satan will leave you alone and quit playing tricks on your mind.
Right.
Learn how to rebuke him.
Right.
Cast him back to the depths of hell where he belongs. Get into a church. Find a Christian friend to help you seek out a different way of thinking.
Exactly. It's about mindset change. It really is. Because you're exactly right about all of that, Megan. We can get so entrenched in the pain of the past. And we can have such a victim mentality that we are just all the time, oh, if something bad's going to happen, it'll happen to me. You know, I have heard that kind of stuff from people for years. Oh, if anybody's going to get sick, it'll be me. You know, I mean, come on. It's that victim mentality that is wrong. And Jesus is saying here, quit looking for that kind of thing. Quit looking for who to blame, who to be mad at, even at yourself. Yeah, I'm the one that's going to get sick. No, change your speech. Change your mindset and look for what God can do. This is the point, people. What can God do in my situation? Because the truth is, he can, he wants to, he will change your situation. Talk to me, Carol.
Well, I find it interesting that people who, for instance, become bullies,
right,
whether it be from the pulpit, and they're awful pulpits there.
Oh, yeah.
But the bully at the front of it, there are sports coaches that are nothing but bullies. There was an article in today's Atlanta Journal about the women's basketball coach at Boston University and what a bully her players think she is. You know, those kinds of people, and the people who prey on the innocent in any way that they might. I really truly believe, and I've never been bullied, and I know that's hard to believe, but I really never have, because I've always got God's protection around me.
Right.
And I will not accept a bully's activity toward me.
Right.
But I think sometimes when a person is being bullied or chastised or teased on the playground or teased in their church, teased in society, maybe even at work, to the point that it becomes a bullying effect to them, if that person will simply put their hand up and say, I rebuke you and any of your garbage coming toward me in the name of my Savior, Jesus Christ, And you will see those people back off. Even if they're not believers, they know innately in their little brain somewhere there is a power stronger than them, a force greater than them, and they really realize they don't want to reap that wrath.
Well, what you're talking about is learning to take authority over evil that affects us, that comes at our minds, that comes at us through people. And we have that authority. Jesus said in Luke 10:19, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions. And that those words translated in the original Greek mean evil actions and evil words. I have given you the authority to tread upon evil actions and evil words. And nothing shall in any way harm you. So, I mean, we have that authority. Megan, talk to us, because so often people go along in life and put up with the same kind of abuse over and over again, and they don't take that authority or make a bold statement like Carol just suggested, where, wait a minute, enough's enough, and that'll be all that you're going to do that to me. You know, very few people in my lifetime have I seen that are bold like that. Megan, talk to me.
Well, you know, it kind of makes you question, do they like where they're at,
mm-hmm.
or do they want out?
Right. A lot of times I think they're used to it, you know?
Right. And it's like, you don't have to live a life like that.
Right.
There is a greener pasture, and it's over here with God.
Amen.
And, you know, if you're not a person that's involved in a church, or that you don't know, quite understand what we're talking about, find someone that you know that is a believer in the Bible and a believer in God.
Amen.
Go to church.
Right.
Whatever you do, you know, the situation that you're in, it's not somewhere where you have to thrive. You can thrive in glory and grace.
Amen. 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 Why stick in the same mess? I mean, when you look at this guy, this blind man here in John 9, and he has been blind all his life, there is a possibility that when Jesus said to him, And he started to minister to him, the guy could have said, you know what, I'm comfortable with this, I'm okay, you know. Jesus did not, that's not the way this story came down, because Jesus said, look for what God can do. We need to be energetically at work for the one who sent me here, working while the sun shines. When night falls, the work day is over. For as long as I am in the world, Jesus said, there is plenty of light. So I am the world's light. And he said this, and then he does something very strange, okay? He does, and so often, Jesus does different forms of healing. Sometimes he lays hands on people. He did that 8 times recorded in the Gospels, where he actually lays hands on them and prays for them. This situation was one of the more bizarre ones, I think, that he did. He reaches down to the ground, picks up some dust and dirt, and then he spits into that dirt and makes a clay paste with the saliva. And then, I mean, come on, everybody around's got to be going, what in the heck is he doing? What is going on here? Why would he be, you know, picking up dirt and spitting in it and making a paste? I find this story fascinating because, again, it shows that God can change our circumstances, do a miracle in an unusual way or in a common way. It doesn't really matter. He rubs this paste on the blind man's eyes, and he says, go and wash at the pool of Siloam. And the man went, washed, and then he could see. So obedience is here, and we need to reach out and believe God for our miracle. Carol, talk to me about this, and then we'll get back to Megan before we do this next song.
Well, if you realize that he took the simplest elements that were available.
From good point.
Came and thus we shall return.
That's right. It's dirt. Yeah.
He took the dirt from the earth.
Right.
Simple dirt from the earth that had no powers of healing until
mm-hmm.
he touched it.
Right.
And then he mixed his sputum with it and put it on the man's eyes.
Woo.
You were healed. You go. Now, don't you know if that man had said, what are you doing? Get that out of my face. Don't touch me with that. Oh, there would have been no healing. But the man.
Right.
Faith in his heart, he knew a change was a coming.
Yes.
And that change came when he had that dirt and sand and clay put on his eyes, and the Lord said, "You're healed. Go."
Amen. And it happened.
He went to proclaim.
But he didn't stand there and argue with Jesus, like, "Oh, what are you doing? Don't put that on my eyes."
No. If he had, there wouldn't have been a healing.
Mm-hmm. There was no arguing. He simply obeyed.
You know, he could have held his hand up and say, "Who are you? Get that out of my way. Don't touch me with that."
Right.
"You're spit? Oh, please." You know? But he didn't. He stood there and he took the healing, the blessing that God had given him. And then he wildly proclaimed, "I am the man who was blind and now I see."
Woo.
I think symbolically it's the same thing with us. When our eyes and our brains are strapped with no knowledge of Jesus Christ, we are totally blind in every sense of the word to him, his reasoning, his words, his healing, his forgiveness, his mercy, grace, and on. But when our eyes are opened because we have seen a miracle of Christ take place, then we begin to realize our eyes have to be opened.
Amen.
And we will begin to see of his goodness and his mercy. It endures forever. And we
Amen.
Get that meaning.
Woo! Megan, we're going to wait on your comment till after we do this song. And this song is going to just send you both screaming and hollering and praising God. It's one of my favorite songs. And it's by a friend of mine, Ray Bolts, "Here Comes a Miracle."
They followed him on dusty roads, wherever he would lead. Multitudes would gather as he healed each disease. With eyes of wonder, they would watch as he would stop to pray. And when he spoke,
They laugh and stare. Someday all men will see the truth when we see him in the
is near. A miracle is here for you, dear one. This is what we got to believe God for. Whatever you need in your life, God wants to provide that. He wants to heal your emotions. He wants to heal your body. He wants to heal your painful memories. He wants to heal your finances. He wants to heal your relationships with your family members or maybe a spouse. God wants to reach down in the midst of your crisis right now. In your situation, here comes your miracle. It's a matter of reaching out and believing in faith that God can and will, that he wants to heal you. Megan, talk to us.
Oh, I love that song.
I do too.
Every time I hear it, it just makes me bawl.
I know it. I love it. I love it. Yes.
You know, let me just share something with whoever's listening, because what I'm about to share, only God can do. My son, every week they calculate, it's called lung to head ratio, where the size of his head is compared to the size of his lung capacity. A week and a half ago, his scoring was 1.4. And we had an ultrasound last Thursday. His points jumped to 2.01.
Wow.
And the only way that can happen is by the miracle work of God.
Wow.
And it's just more proof of what he can do if you learn to rely on him.
Yes.
Every moment and every second of your life.
Yes.
And when we left that doctor's office, that was the song we played, because we are claiming a miracle. And it's just like with Jessica and Justin. They are seeing the faith of all the people that are praying for that little boy and for them. And it's totally, and I know you, Carol, already said it's turning their lives around. And it does just that. This, my son, I have not even met him yet, but through the power of God, this little child is changing my life.
Amen.
Better, because I am going to see a miracle, and so is the rest of our family. And we're going to testify it to the world. Whoever, whether you want to hear it or not, you're going to hear it, because everybody in a situation, no matter what you're in, you can have a testimony. You just have to step out of the shadows and step out into the light. Step through the door today. Choose to step out and claim your miracle.
Yes.
Because it's time, Pastor. It's time.
It's time, Megan. And I did not know that you played that song when you left the doctor's office.
We did. And that's when I saw Jesus' face and he was grinning.
And look at this confirmation. I had no knowledge of that when I picked these songs for today. Look what God is doing. And here it is. Dear listener, Megan is right. Carol is right. This miracle is for you today. And you are, some of you out there are been stubbornly stuck in a rut for a real long time. You have been content to be the victim. You have been content to sit in your old ways of thinking, and God Almighty is shaking it loose today, girls. God Almighty is saying, here comes a miracle. What are you going to do with it? Do you want a miracle in your life, or do you want to stay the same way you have always been? That is our choice. This blind man had been blind from birth, and Jesus said, come on, it's not about who we're going to blame for his blindness. It is about what can God do in your situation? What can God do in your situation? Carol, talk to us.
Well, I'm going to talk to you via John 15, 18 through about 20 here.
Okay.
If the world hates you, keep it in mind that it hated me first. If you belonged to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I've chosen you out of the world. This is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you.
Right.
If they obeyed the teaching, then they will obey yours also.
Right.
He has said to us, we do not have to walk in the way the world tells us we should.
Right.
Or the way the world condemns us that we should walk. Somebody's always got an opinion about you. I don't care who it is or what it is. You can wear the most beautiful clothing in the world, and they will have a comment, the color doesn't suit you. They will always cut you down, shut you down, and whatever. And people will try to be the naysayers, like the joy that Megan and Ben are experiencing with this child, and grandma and granddad. The joy that they see coming from everything that's taken place. And people will try to naysay to them, no, that, you know, the doctors made a mistake. You know, please, Megan, they didn't. That didn't really happen. And Megan has proclaimed.
Amen.
She will step out boldly and say, no, there was no mistake made. The mistake would have been had I accepted it.
Right.
Instead of using my faith and proclaiming that Jesus Christ once again has my child in his hands. He has great and wondrous things for Grayson to do, a great and wondrous message through her and her family. So God tells us through his son Jesus, be bold, step out, believe, trust me, know that I have the best for you at hand, and proclaim it to the world.
Amen.
They too can have it. All they have to do is confess to me that they love me more than themselves.
Right. And when we get on board with what God is doing and believe him for the miracle, instead of being content to stay blind or depressed or sick or tired or discouraged or whatever, God will meet you right where you are and meet your need. Megan, talk to us.
You know, if people think that they are an impossible fix, they're wrong.
Good point.
Just as I found last week, I found this statement that said, nothing in your soul is unfixable by God.
Amen.
And so, you know, no matter what your situation, whether, you know, if we haven't directly mentioned the situation that you're growing through, that doesn't mean God can't step right into the center of the picture and take control.
Ooh, girl, yes.
Because when you get out of the way, seriously mean you got to get out of the way so that God can perform his miracles. You've got to stop with your own mental control. You've got to stop running your mouth. You've got to speak words of positivity and not words of negativity.
Amen.
It's going to come at you from everywhere. It comes at me every single day, and it's coming at me through my, you know, through people's disbelief in the healing of my child.
Right.
And I refuse to stand idly by and not give all the glory to God, because I have, you know, got devastating news, but I made the decision to give the glory to God and not let Satan control my life.
Amen. That's it.
There is not only
Satan, but Satan's agents that come around.
Amen. That's right. And he'll work through anybody.
Yes.
And I see it every day.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you have a right to live in the light.
Yes. You have a right, and it is your choice whether or not you live in the light of God Almighty.
It's your birthright.
Right.
That's right.
And if you choose to disavow it or not claim it, then you will be the great loser. There will be a day when the trumpets blow and the skies open up, and it will be too late to confess it at that point.
Right.
You cannot have the best of both worlds.
Right.
You cannot have what you might think is the best of the natural world and have the world of Jesus Christ, too. They conflict with each other. great decisions have to be made in either direction. And so if a person lives like there is no tomorrow, and this is all there is, in fact, I have said to myself so many times in this natural world, is this all there is? Because I know that there has to be a place that we've been promised that is beyond our wildest imagination.
Right.
Peace and joy and comfort and love and all of those things that we all seek. But if we proclaim this to be our moment of glory and know there's no Jesus and know he doesn't do anything and God's just some little lost soul in space somewhere, then when we step out and proclaim it boldly, we will see the changes,
mm-hmm.
see the changes we want in the world.
But it takes our participation in it. We see that in these stories. The one you mentioned in Luke 8, where the woman with hemorrhage had 12 years, she went to Jesus crawling, knowing that if she could just touch his garment, she would be healed. And that is exactly what happened. And he commended her for faith. Faith is not just mental assent or agreeing with something. Faith is doing something about it. Okay? Megan, you are sitting there day after day confessing God's word over your child. You are doing something about the situation. You are claiming his healing, correct? All of that.
Amen.
Okay.
I refuse to sit idly by.
Exactly. Why? Because, you know, I used to hear my mother say this, an idle mind is the devil's playground. Have y'all heard that?
Exactly right.
Yes.
You know, and when you're just sitting around and letting your mind just wander, pretty soon you're going to get yourself in a big old mess, you know, because the devil will take you down a path of discouragement. He will take you down a path of unbelief. He will take you down a path of lust or get yourself into a situation that you are really in a mess with. And it because the mind is the devil's playground, and an idle mind that is not confessing God's word and talking the answer versus the problem is in deep trouble. Deep trouble. Megan, your turn. Talk. Oof. Wow.
You're right. You're in deep trouble. Because the more negativity you speak, the more you're letting the devil win.
Amen.
I get so fired up when I talk about fighting the devil.
Because, I can tell.
I'm like my mama. It's like, he's not going to control my life. He's going down.
Amen.
Because I know the difference.
Right.
And I've seen it. I've seen it among my own family members and among my own friends. And, you know, I had, after I surrendered my life to God, after I found out about Grayson, there was a couple of weeks of, you know, me on my knees, me being healed, me weeping. It was just, it's a process. We've talked about that before.
Right.
But one night, God came to me in my mind. It was the Holy Spirit. He said, it's time to get up off of your knees and fight.
Oh, praise God.
Time to get out of the back line and come into the front. And
woo!
Okay, God, I'm going. And ever since then, every day there is something that I always have to pray over and rebuke, because the devil will constantly,
yep.
constantly try to take you down that road.
That's
and
right.
Trust me, you don't want to be going down that road, people.
That's right. But he does. He tries his best to take you down, that discouragement and then defeat, just so you don't walk in faith. Carol, comment on that before we get to this next song.
Well, I think there's sometimes that you have to get in the ball game. Sometimes the coach won't call you to come into the ball game. You have to prove yourself worthy to be in that ball game.
There you go.
The coach will rely on you more. And that's what we have to do. We have to prove ourselves worthy of being the children of God to proclaim to other people. Folks, we sat on the bench as substitutes for a lifetime, and we came off that bench and we inserted ourselves in the game, and we're here to play it.
Woo!
Good.
Yes, we are. We're in the game. We're going to believe God for the healing that needs to take place in each of our lives. Listen to this song by the group, the Katinas, and it is Believe.
If you choose to believe, think of what can mean.
are, whatever you're going through, just put your faith in him. It's gonna be all right. You know, just trying to get you to understand that it all comes down to believing, even when you can't see, 'cause everything you'll ever need, he's already provided. Just believe.
Gotta believe. Choose to believe. It's up to you. Are you gonna believe? Look what happens when you believe. Forget what was. Think of what can be. You can be walking around with that burden that's been on your mind and in your life for so long, that baggage that you've been carrying. You know, the last time I flew up to visit my grandkids, I just loaded my backpack down with all kinds of stuff, and I checked a bag, but then this backpack I had carrying around the Atlanta airport and, you know, run into another plane and all that stuff, it was too full. It was too full of stuff. And I was just like, man, that hurts, you know, my shoulder. I kept switching that backpack over to another shoulder. And I didn't have much time in between the connecting flights on that one. And it was like, wow, you know, I'm hurrying, I'm rushing, and then this bag is too heavy. And it's so such a good metaphor for the fact that we carry this baggage around. We carry it on one shoulder, and then we move it to the other. And we think about it for a while, and then we kind of put it behind our mind or in our back of our minds. And then it comes out again, and it surfaces, and we get drugged down again by the same old garbage. Wouldn't you like to just not have to carry that old backpack of bag, that baggage of junk around anymore? Carol, talk to us about this, because the next time I fly, I'm not putting as much stuff in my backpack.
Well, one of the first things I do when I offer communion in a church, and I'm the one consecrating the elements, I say to people, do not come up here empty-handed. Bring your garbage, your baggage, figuratively, of course.
Yep.
I don't want to see a black bag of dead chicken.
A black bag of dead chickens?
Yeah.
Okay, don't say that then.
They begin to stink after. But I want to see you bring what's on your on your heart. What's keeping you from being successful in the eyes of Jesus Christ?
Amen.
What's prohibiting you from accepting all of his glory and his honor in your own life? Bring it up here. Drag it up here. This is the place to drop it and leave it.
Amen. Drop it and leave it.
Yep, and when I finish, I say, now you will return to your seats, and you will not pick up this baggage. You've left it here at the altar of Jesus Christ, right where it needs to go.
Amen.
Turn around and leave here a healed person.
Amen.
Who is full of mercy and grace and God's love.
Well, didn't the lepers leave the leprosy behind? Didn't the blind man leave the blindness behind? Didn't the woman with the hemorrhage for 12 years leave the hemorrhage behind? And a lot of our physical stuff has roots in emotional garbage. And we have got to get to the root of that and let it go and let God heal us. Megan, your take on this.
Well, you know, I totally agree with Carol, because when you leave the baggage, you really need to leave it. Don't ever allow it to, you know, be put back in your backpack.
Right.
Because it'll weigh you down seven times worse than it did before.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you're going to make a decision that you want to clear out the junk, you really have to be true of heart on that, because if you're not, your trash can come back.
Right.
Because the devil wants you to take it back.
Yes.
So you've got to get into a real seriousness here that, you know, that you're finally fed up and you're tired of carrying around the garbage. And when you get on the flight and you land at the foot of the cross,
right
there, and let God compost it and get rid of it.
Woo, amen.
Don't let it come back.
Right.
Maybe, maybe carrying stuff up there was not what God wanted you to do. You know, you loaded your backpack down with wondrous little things for your grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe what they really need is more than anything you could carry in that backpack other than your Bible is your full faults toward them, your love mm-hmm. toward them, your
right.
God's words over him.
Yeah.
Look how much lighter that would have been.
Mm-hmm.
And they would have been even more blessed. They want to see you. They don't care what you bring.
Mm-hmm.
They want to see Nana, Florida.
Right. And, you know, God wants to see us become all we can be in him. He does not want us struggling and barely able to walk and function because the past is haunting us all the time. God does not want that for his children. He's a loving heavenly father. He calls himself Abba Father in Romans 8, which means daddy God. Okay, that's who he is. He's like a daddy, like Cedric in here. We were talking about his little baby who is so beautiful and coming right along. And here's daddy Cedric, you know, and he wants to do the very best for little Melody. He wants to take care of her. He wants to make sure she grows strong and feed her the right food and all of that. Am I right, Cedric?
Absolutely.
All right. Okay. That's the same as our Father God. Okay. Just like our earthly daddies want the best for their children. Most of them do. The good ones do. But God, our Heavenly Father, wants the same thing, and that includes healing. If Melody, little baby Melody, were sick, you'd want to take her to a doctor and get her well, right?
Of course.
Exactly. And Megan, you want Grayson to be born with no lung issues, no problems whatsoever, correct? You want him to be functioning, fully functioning. And some of these people around the world, we get so bogged down with our past and the pain of what has happened to us that we cannot be fully functioning. And, oh, we got to pray right now. Heavenly Father, we thank you right this moment for this revelation of your healing touch in our lives. Lord, you remind us in the book of John that it's not about looking for someone to blame for our past or our mess that we're currently in, but it is all about looking to what you can do in this situation. God, I know you're all the time looking for things that you can do to get glory to yourself and show your power and your ability to heal in our lives. Lord, I pray for these listeners right now, those listening live now, those that will listen later on our website. Lord, I ask that by the power of Almighty God, their hearts are being stirred today to receive this message of hope, this message of faith, this message that says God wants us well and whole in every part of our lives, every single part of our lives, not just our physical body, but our emotions, our finances, our relationships, every bit of it. God wants us well and whole. And Lord, that is your nature, and I know that about you. And so, Lord, I ask that you burn that truth into our listening audience today. Lord, I ask that they would absolutely reach out to you in faith and believe you for the healing that they need and look for what you can do in their mess and believe you for the miracle. I ask you now by faith, Lord, do a work in our listeners that needs to be done. And we will give you all the glory and the praise because you are the healer, Jehovah Rapha, our mighty God, and we love you so very much. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.
And amen.
Amen.
Wow.
I think what we need to ask our audience to do is not only send their requests for prayers for themselves and family members, workers, their animals, whatever it might be, but I think we need to ask them to send us their praises because we can
Amen.
Use that to teach people.
Yes.
And to show lessons learned that Jesus does these things for people when they turn their lives over to him.
Amen.
The more that we can hear that, the more that we can speak that, the
Woo.
More we can say that, the more people will believe that it could be, and yes, it is for them too.
Amen. That is the message of hope that we want to give this day. This is for you. We're not just talking about stories that happened 2,000 years ago. We're talking about you. We're talking about what God can do for you if you get your eyes off of who to blame and instead look to God as the source of your healing. Megan, talk to us.
Amen. I led to Matthew chapter 5, verses, I think it's verse 5 here in the Message Bible. You're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and your heart put right.
Whew.
Then you can see God in the outside world.
That is so true. Read that again. We just taught that Matthew 5, 6, and 7 a few weeks back. And if any of our listeners did not hear that series, that was the 4 G's for kingdom living. Go to our website, bohmglobal.com, and look and listen to those radio shows on the 4 G's, because we taught that concept. Go ahead with that one more time. Matthew 5, 5, Megan.
You're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and your heart put right. Then you can see God in the outside world.
Woo! What does that mean to you, Megan?
It means to me that when I am walking through the open door into his arms, that I am going to, that the Holy Spirit not only is going to be seen through me, but I'm going to be able to spread the Holy Spirit through the words and kind, love-caring words that come out of my mouth, and that I'm also going to see his grace every day of my life. I'm going to be blessed every day of my life. It may not be things that you see with your own eyes, but it's going to be these little blessings that we sometimes don't even recognize.
Amen.
And, you know, that we have food to put in our mouth, whatever. But it's just proof that the promises in the Bible still ring true today.
Oh, so true. Amen. Carol, guys, it's winding down here. Boy, this show has gone fast. It always does. But 2 hours here of speaking the Word of God, it's wonderful. Carol, give us a final thought.
Well, God knows the value of his people, and he knows that each human being is indeed a treasure to him.
Amen.
And to the world that is around them in spirituality and hope and faith and knowledge. And because he does, people don't have to live in the stress. They can live in a world that's free of that because they lean on to him.
Amen.
God offers salvation to everybody. And if you find yourselves being judged by others, remember that God values you just as you are.
Amen.
And think of what you can do to show other people how God's children can be blessed and valued, even in the words that you speak. When you find somebody being bullied or thought less of or told horrible things in front of other people or even to themselves, value them. Say, Lord, let me see this person as you see them.
Amen. Amen. Carol, you're a blessing.
That will open up a world that is entirely different than you might have walked in previously.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Carol. Thank you, as always. And I'll see you in a few days, since I'm coming your way.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, Megan, a final word.
Just a short blurb is that
I'm coming your way, too, Megan, on up to Indiana.
I can't wait to see you. is that people seek out their peace, that they finally realize through, you know, whatever they hear, whether it be through this radio broadcast or to somebody that's ministering to them, the Holy Spirit's ministering through them to you, is that you finally seek out your peace. I just pray for that right now in the name
Amen.
Of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you both. I love you both very much, and I will see you in a few days. Next week, Pastor Jim, my associate pastor, will be anchoring the show, and I will be about this time arriving in Indiana to be with my grandchildren and Megan and her family and my whole gang up there, and then stopping in Atlanta area overnight on Saturday night to stay with Maxine and Carol. So that's really a blessing. So anyway, these people are precious friends of mine, and I appreciate you both very much. So if you don't have a home church, you're in the Tampa Bay area, please come to Beacon of Hope. God is moving. Seats are being filled. Lives are being changed. We welcome you. 10:30 Sunday morning, Wednesday night at 7. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister, Megan and Carol. Carol from Atlanta, Megan from Indiana, sharing the Word of God with you today. God bless you. And if you want to contact us, go write prayers at bohmglobal.com, or you can write me personally, pastor at bohmglobal.com. Have a great week. Know we love you. Thanks for tuning in. See you next week. Bye.
that far.